Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen, amen, amen. Grandparents' Day, we are certainly blessed to honor the grandparents on this day. They have contributed so much to our family lives and structure. And I want to encourage grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc., to spend some time talking with your grandparents. There are so many wonderful things that they know, so many wonderful things that they can share, so many wonderful recipes that are in graveyards because we didn't take our time to ask Grandma how she made that. And we so instant with instant this, instant that. It's just an instant mess. Grandma would get up early on Sunday morning. My grandmother was a deaconess, and she'd get up early that Sunday morning and begin dinner. And before we got dinner, she had fixed breakfast. And by the time we left the house to go to church, dinner was already prepared and waiting on us. You know, and I mean, they found time to do some wonderful things. And you know, we just don't see a lot of that these days no more. You know, and I mean, we're grateful for all that they have contributed. I don't know, again, what you call grandmother and grandfather, but just know that you're blessed if you have them. And if you'll spend some time, you'll be surprised at the knowledge they have. You know, many of them will forget probably more than you'll ever know. because of what they've come through and what they've been through and what they've dealt with and the hard roads they've had to travel. And so that's why we honor them, because one, the word lets us do it. But secondly, we ought to want to do it because we are their offspring. And we realize, listen, they were making much tougher people back then. A lot of us are a bunch of wimplings and weaks now. You know, we don't want to walk to the bus stop to catch the school bus. And they had to walk miles and miles, some without shoes and tattered clothing and all of that. But they went for the right reason, to get something in their heads. And many times they could only go to the third, fourth, fifth grade and have to drop out and work in fields and provide for their families, etc. But they had a desire to push their children further than they went, further than they had the opportunity to go. And many of us squander those opportunities. So I think when we just really take some time out to thank God for, you know, grandparents, what a blessing they are to the family. Sister Stella Walker on yesterday was celebrated for her 90 years of life on earth, and I think we can give her another big hand. God bless you, Sister Stella. Beautiful expression of love to that's Brother A.D. McFarland's mother and Brother Jerome Walker's mother. And they have that sibling rival about who loves her the most. And that's a good problem for a mother to have, when their children fight over her to say who loves her the most. One say, I have coffee with her every evening. The other say, I call her every night. But they love their mother. And when you've given and contributed so much to life, and how many of you know mother will be there when many times no one else will be? Anybody's a witness. I hate to say it, but when we can't find father sometime, mama is right there being mama and daddy. And many times it goes on into grandparenthood. And so we are blessed to have our grandparents, and we thank God for them. On this day, I'm just reminded, I want to sing a little bit. I want to preach a little bit. I want to talk a little bit. I don't know, you know, I just want to enjoy it. For the grandfathers, the Canton spiritual say, you know, my favorite song, I come from a poor family. And grandfathers, they know something about this, and they know about working the fields from camp to camp. From the time you couldn't see in the morning to the time you couldn't see in the evening. But they knew God had been good to them, spared their lives, and brought them thus far. And we're grateful for that, for all that he has done. Amen, somebody. All right. Come from a poor family, we didn't have much, but the Lord been good to me. I come from a poor family, we didn't have much, but the Lord been good to me. I didn't have much money. A lot of my friends thought that was funny, but I am here today, and I can truly say that the Lord been good to me. We were raised in a shack, y'all. Sometimes the clothes were thin that we put on our back. Mama and Daddy, they done the best they could. They said, son, always, always been good. But out of all
hey, hey, out of on. Out of on. Hey, you know the Lord been good to me. Oh, he's been good. I know he's been good. Anybody know he's been good? He's been good. Has he brought you from a long way? Somebody say all the way. He's been good. Lord, he's been good. Sometime I've been up, down all along, down to the ground, put a frown on my face. But he picked me up, then he turned me round. He been good. I said he's been good. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? I thank him. He kept me. I thank him. He never left me. I know the Lord's been good to me. Yeah, he's been good. Wave your hand if God's been good. Thank you, Jesus. Sometime I couldn't say a word. I just waved my hand. He's been good. Lord, he's been good. I know the Lord been good to me.
Now there's a little song. I don't know. I've never rehearsed it, never sung it before in church. But I want us to try and pick the music up. If we can get it together, we'll try and sing it. If not, I'll go on and preach. Let me see how that goes. Come on, musicians. All right, somebody knew it. Grandma had clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma had played the tambourine so well. Grandma had used to issue out a warning. She'd say, children, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. All right, come on. Grandma's hand soothed the local languid mothers. Grandma's hand used to ache sometime and swell. Grandma's hand, oh, it really came in handy. She'd say, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hand, grandma's hand. All right. One more time here. Grandma's hand used to hand me piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in handy. She'd say, Jesse, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. When I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hand. Thank y'all. Amen. Amen. We We're gonna get that better for 11 o'clock. That was good though. Amen, amen, amen. I just want to say a quick word, if you don't mind. Proverbs 22, verse 4 says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. My brothers and sisters, when we look at this word today, many of us wonder, how can we obtain riches and honor and live long lives? We want to know the secret to success, the secret to long life, the secret to how to be honored, and all of these wonderful things. But I'm glad to tell you, God has the answer in His word. One of the things that I think is so important about this text, even when we look at this word today and see that it begins by saying, by humility. This word humility actually means humbleness, meekness, and lowliness. Humility is a thing so very necessary in the lives of believers. We have become in this day and time so bigoted and so braggadocious, so arrogant, and we act like God can't make it without us. We act like without us the show can't go on. We act like we are all that by ourselves and there is no other who can compare to us. It's one thing to be confident. It's another thing to be arrogant. Confident is preparation depending on God. Arrogance is preparation depending on oneself. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. I don't care how much you have prepared yourself, how much you've trained yourself, how much you have gained knowledge and you have ascended to high and lofty places. If your dependence is on you rather than God, you are arrogant. Because one of the things James wrote in the word, he made clear that we don't know what will be on the morrow. For what is your life? He went on to say, if paraphrased, if we were smart, we would say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But we get so arrogant, we make plans and we leave Him out of our plans, and we make our dreams and our desires and our goals, and yet we never stop to say, God, does this meet your approval? Since this is what I desire to do and had not yet checked with you, because you have the right to go beyond what I have prepared, it is thy will that I'm more concerned with than my will. When you are humble, talk about humility, it's important that we take not only the humbleness and the meekness and the lowliness as it relates to the Lord, because in doing so, it helps us to understand and grasp that God has our best interest at heart. You think you have your best interest at heart? Your heart has deceived you. It has fooled you. God has your best interest at heart. And to trust Him, to know this, means then that you humble yourself to His word, to His will, and to His way.
Life might not be going like you want it to go because you made some plans and you did not check with him. You did not find out if it was his will, if it was his desire, if it was his way. You just thought it would be a good way to go. You saw others going this way and decided you too wanted to go this way. But don't you realize that you were made for a purpose? That purpose was to glorify God and to give God all of our lives the service he deserves. Not for us to build ourselves up and make ourselves little gods. So when he talks about by or through humility, and then he says, and the fear of the Lord. Listen at this. This is important because when he talks about the fear of the Lord, there are two words in the Old Testament that deal with fear. One has to do with dread and terror. And that's not the fear that God is talking about in this context. That fear has to do with sinners reaping the kind of pain and punishment they deserve for breaking the rules or the word of God. That kind of fear is the kind of fear they ought to fear God when they know they've not repented and done evil things against his word, his will, and his way. But this fear is a reverential fear. It's an awe-inspired fear. When it talks about the fear of the Lord, there are at least three things that go into this phrase, fear of the Lord. The first one is reverence and awe, found in Psalms 33 and 8. When you get some time, go back home and read that. Jot it down for now, though. Reverence and awe, that's in Psalm 33, verse 8. But not only does reverence and awe belong to God when we fear him in a reverential, in a respectful way, in a awe-stricken way, it is also necessary that we realize God wants more than that, and he wants for us to hate evil. Turn to Proverbs 8, verse 13 when you get a chance, and read Proverbs 8, verse 13, and see that if you reverence and fear God, then you will hate evil. You won't love to be around evil. You know, a lot of times young folk try to tell their parents, well, look, you know, I know my friends are doing this and that and the other. I'm not doing it. So, you know, I mean, they're not influencing me. But when you love God, you don't want to be around people that's doing the very opposite of what God desires. You check yourself, you check your company, you check your mind, your attitude, you check everything about you because you don't want to be even in the appearance of evil. So you have to hate evil. Job was known as one who loved God, who feared God, and eschewed, hated evil. See, one of the things that you're going to note when you love God, truly love God, evil hates you and you hate evil. Evil is not going to want to hang around you because evil knows that you have no love for it. And see, there's a problem when evil can hang out at your house. There's a problem when you can enjoy the company of evil and think everything is okay when your father hateth evil. And then thirdly, listen, it is obedience to God. All of these fit, these three fit in the fear of the Lord. Obedience to God found in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19. Again, when you get home in your study time, read this. And these collectively fit in the term, the fear of the Lord. Now, why is this so important to know? Because one, if you don't recognize
the reverence and awe of the God you serve. If you don't realize how big and how awesome your God is, then you will 9 out of 10 times not give him the praise and the glory that he deserves. You don't see him the way he wants you to see him. You don't know him the way he wants you to know him when you don't fear him like that. When you don't hate evil and say you love the Lord, something is wrong with that picture. Listen at this. God hates the sin. No. No, he hates the sin. He loves the sinner. He hates the sin. He can't stand it. And that's one of the reasons why when you're in sin, you can't be in his presence. Because the stench of sin stinks in his nostril. And he's like, something ain't right about this. You can't fool God. When you've been with sinners, you can't walk in his house and act like you've been with saints all night long. The smell of stench. You've been shaking and gyrating, as the old folks say, all night long, and then won't come here and lift up holy hands. It's a stench. You still got the club smell on you. It's a stench. It smells. People who don't drink can smell the stench of alcohol on folk who do drink. I don't care how many peppermints you use and how much Listerine you drink, it comes out in your skin. When you sweat, it comes out in your glands. How many times those of us who have not been smokers walked into a Circle K just to get some milk or get some water, get a soft drink or something, ain't been in there but a few minutes and came out smelling like a smokestack. See, when you've been around sin, the stench of sin grabs hold of you. Where you been? Nowhere. But the stench of sin has gotten all in the fabrics of your clothes. And the longer you stay there, the deeper they get in your clothes, and they go from your clothes to your soul. The longer you stay in sinful places with sinful people. And you might not have gone there to sin, but if you stay long enough, sin don't look like sin no more. You know, when you out there in the world and you only looking for, you know, 36, 24, 36 and all of that, the winning hand, oh, Shane, I'm right, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the later you stayed and the pickings became few, you decided, well, if I can't go home with a brick house, I settle for a warehouse. I ain't going home by myself. It didn't look the same the longer you stayed in that environment. Now, ain't nothing wrong with a healthy, fine, big old woman. Listen, because everybody don't like bones. Yeah, I'm going to keep it real now. Let me keep it real. Little man had a big woman. He said, I got so much more to hold on to me. He said, I just thank God that I got somebody that can hold me. But listen, when you realize, my brothers and sisters, that God wants you to have riches and honor and life. And he does not want you to have to lay and stray and play to get those things.
as a child of the King, you are entitled to these things. It's your inheritance. Inheritance, it's your heritage, it's your right. When you recognize that you are now with Christ Jesus.